all things new. And the blessings of the land we love are really gifts from you.
Amen. Thank you, Mark, so much. A wonderful song and one that is greatly needed in our day. Wouldn't you agree? A great message for us to hear this morning. And what a privilege it is to be a part of this service. We again thank all of our veterans. The Bible tells us to honor those who deserve honor and to give credit where it is due, and ultimately we give all the credit to the Lord for the men and women who serve and who protect them and use them to keep all of our nation free and give us the quality of life that we enjoy from day to day. Let's not also forget the Homeland Security people, how needed they are in our day and have been for some time. And though they're not exactly a branch of service to themselves, we nonetheless appreciate all that they do as well as the other branches. Let's take our Bibles this morning and be finding the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. I want us to begin reading, as you find that here in a moment, in verse 10. Ephesians 6, beginning with verse number 10. As you're finding that, I'd like to thank again, Jim, for your comments. And thank you for wearing your uniform today. We appreciate you representing others who wear the uniform. And very distinctly, I might add, I saw Jim as I first arrived here this morning. We met outside. Just as you come in the glass doors, and there's a heating cooling unit off to the side, and Jim stepped up on the porch area there, and as soon as he did, that unit turned on. I said, "It's turning on in attention for you." Saw the uniform. And we do appreciate it very, very much. Let's look at this passage here this morning. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. What a marvelous passage it is, telling us about spiritual warfare. And we are going to look at it this morning. We're also going to continue this study in Scripture tonight and possibly, quite possibly, into next week. So I'm going to let you know ahead of time, we're just going to scratch the surface. We're going to introduce this subject that I believe is so vitally important for us in our day. Well, it's always important, but we need to recognize we are in a spiritual battle all the time. And I pray that God would use this for our strengthening and for His honor and glory. Would you pray with me? Lord, we bow before You once again to thank You so much for this day, a beautiful day that it is. And a glorious day because it's a day of worship, a day of looking to You in song and in word, a day of fellowship with others, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we welcome all who are here in this house, and most of all, we welcome Your presence and know that whenever we meet, You are with us. Thank You, Father, for Your blessing upon us today and for all that our hearts have felt and all that our eyes have seen and our ears have heard. And what we have been reminded of about our nation and those who serve our nation, how grateful we are for both our nation and those who serve us. Father, thank You for the sacrifice made, not only by those who wear the uniform, but by all the families that support those who wear the uniform, and for the sacrifices made on everyone's behalf. We know it is a family affair, and we much appreciate sacrifices made, even as we worship today. And Father, we thank You for being with our nation in this time. It's been a trying time. It's been a time that much has been going on, and this week particularly. And it is a time of transition. It is a time of being able to process and accept what is happening in our country. And we pray, Lord, for Your blessing, and we pray for Your blessing not only on the country as a whole, but especially upon Your church and upon brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, there are many things upon my heart and our hearts today, but one thing I want to pray for especially is that You would enable us as believers to reflect You in all of this, that we might show forth a strong faith in Your sovereignty, and that we might make known through our testimony and through our attitudes that we know for sure You're on Your throne and Your will is being accomplished in this world. And though things may seem chaotic and out of control, we know indeed they are never out of Your control. We rest in that, Father, and we rejoice in that. And we pray that You'll guide us through these choppy waters, and help us, Lord, to glorify You in all things. Help us to use this opportunity to turn hearts towards You and Your Word, the only place where we find answers for these times. We ask now that You bless us as we look to Your Word concerning this matter of spiritual warfare. And help us, Lord, to understand the need and to be well armed, well equipped for what we face on a daily basis, so that You'll receive glory through our lives because we're faithful soldiers in Your army. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Spiritual warfare. The Bible reminds us that the Christian life is a battle, and every believer is in this war. You can't choose not to be. If you're a believer, you're in the battle. Have you thought about this? From the time you were born, actually, that is your physical birth, until the time you die, you and I are living behind enemy lines. Have you thought of that? We're on enemy turf. When we get to heaven, we won't have any enemy to contend with, seen or unseen. But now, we're under constant threat. This life, this Christian life, is a battlefield, is it not? And we're not on a pleasure cruise, we're aboard a battleship. And so we need a battlefield mentality, we do, as believers. And it's on a day like this when we recognize our flags and our country and our soldiers and all branches, veterans. It's a good time for us to remember that we too are soldiers in a different kind of army. In fact, the highest honor any of us could ever have is to be in the Lord's family and therefore be in the Lord's army. If you're a believer, you are in. You've been enlisted into the Lord's army. And therefore, we need to know how to serve Him and to do it well. There are many references in the Bible about this matter of us, that is, as believers, being soldiers. This kind of language is used very often. Let me give you a few for instances. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, Paul's writing to his protege, Timothy, and says in this letter, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." He's speaking there of his Christian walk and service. But he describes it as a war, and warring a good warfare. Later on in that same letter, chapter 6, verse 12, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And we're all involved in that good fight. It's a good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." That was Paul's testimony, and it can be your testimony. And I pray that it will be our testimony. That should be our aim, our goal, our desire in life, to be able to say when we come to the end what Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have been faithful as a soldier of the Lord." And then one more I'll give you is 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 4. "For though we walk in the flesh," that is, in the body, "we do not war after the flesh," that is, on a human level or simply an earthly level. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," that is, fleshly, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So again, a reference to this battlefield that we're in. And this is real, folks. This is not just for Paul, not just for missionaries and Christian workers, so to speak. Every Christian is involved in this battle. We sing our songs, and we are always reminded as we sing, like, "Onward, Christian soldiers," and stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross." The life of a soldier, a soldier in the Lord's army, is such a high calling, and it's a demanding thing. All branches of the military have their mottos and their watchwords and so on. We're kind of a Marine family, speaking of my own family. David served, Dustin serves, and I served for a brief while. And so that's kind of what we relate to. But all branches of service have these slogans, these mottos, these sayings The Marine three words that are often used is the words honor, courage, and commitment. But you'd find that straight across the board in all branches of service. Words that put focus to the matter of serving. And so this is what we need to do, is to have this mindset along that line, that we are in it for the honor of the Lord, and it takes courage to stand for Christ, and we need to be committed. In other words, what I'm saying to you is that military service, of which we've been reminded today, is not for the weak, is it? It's not for the soft. It's not for those who are wimpy or perhaps half-hearted. That's not what it's about. And I want to be quick to say that's not what the Christian life is about either. Even though we have sort of bought that idea that it really doesn't matter, our service, our level of commitment, but it does matter. It does matter. And that's why we need to understand we're in a battle, so we'll be all that we should be and can be for the Lord. Before I get to the points in this passage, I want to remind you, I don't have to remind you about COVID-19. And it's before us constantly. Some of our members are now struggling with that to some degree or other. I just heard a report that the other day, and then today again, two pastors in the area have been tested positive for COVID. And we know the results of that, the consequences of that on every hand, the physical, the emotional, the financial, all of that. But I want to remind you, COVID-19 has taken a toll on the church, and it's taken a toll on individual believers. And I do believe that this COVID-19, and I'm not trying to hype this, I'm not trying to jump on this and to use this in any way, but I think it's pretty evident that COVID-19 is a part of the spiritual battle that we're in. It's more than just economic. It's more than just physical because of the consequences we're seeing come to play in people's lives and in churches all across the board. It's an enemy that is distracting us. And I'm speaking now of the church, and in some cases, defeating us. So we need to understand the principles of spiritual warfare and apply them at every level and in every way, because we are, in fact, living from day to day behind enemy lines. Our life depends upon it, and the well-being of ourselves, our families, and our church depends upon it. Two things I want to say in the time we have this morning, and we'll continue this. So this is just kind of an introduction. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right? And I encourage you to come back tonight to find out more, and we'll keep going until we're done. The first thing I want you to see is what I'd like to call our strength for the fight. Our strength for the fight. Notice verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Here's the introduction to this section. And he starts it on a note of needing strength. Well, that's obvious. We've said that. In terms of our military, they are taught to be mentally strong. They work out and tone their bodies and all of that to be physically strong and fit. There is strength for the battle, and there is strength needed for this spiritual battle that we're in. If we fight in our own strength, we are sure to lose and be defeated, perhaps even be destroyed by the forces against us and the war that we're in. So we need to be reminded of the source of our strength. And right here it is. Be strong in the Lord. We have no strength of our own. As a matter of fact, we don't have any strength on any level of our own. You don't have physical strength unless the Lord gives it. Isn't that true? He gives you life. He maintains and sustains you physically. Same is true spiritually. If we're not strong in the Lord, then we're not going to be strong for this battle. So what does it mean to be strong in the Lord? He does not amplify, right here at least, but the Bible amplifies what this means. First, let me point out, he introduces it with his word, finally. Now, we know preachers use that word sometimes, and sometimes it's meaningful and sometimes it's not, because I'll be the first to say a preacher like me has said more than once, finally, and then you'll preach another 15 minutes. But what he's doing here is he's wrapping up what he's said in this epistle thus far. And so this is the final thing, bringing everything to a fitting conclusion in this epistle. Well, what has he said up till now? I think that's important to consider. Just briefly, first part of this epistle, he deals with the blessings, or we might say the Christian's wealth, not financial wealth, it's greater than that. Spiritual wealth, the riches we have in Christ. And if you look in Ephesians 1, you'll see some of the richest truth you'll find anywhere in Scripture about the fact that God chose us, even from eternity, He chose us, He's adopted us, He's going to keep us, we belong to Him, we have forgiveness, we have redemption, all of that. We're adopted into His family. So, first of all, spiritual wealth. Then he moves to our walk, our Christian walk. And he talks about what we should do, what we should not do. And then he comes to this section. Finally, my brethren, and reminds us that as we enjoy and appreciate our spiritual wealth, and as we go about our spiritual daily walk, we must remember that we are in a battle. And so he concludes by talking about spiritual warfare. And in order to be successful in battle, you have to be strong. Daily strength, spiritual strength. Let me point out some things that the Bible amplifies concerning this strength of the fight. First of all, we need daily strength. You cannot get strong coming to church on Sunday and then coming back the next Sunday. And even though you might be faithful Sunday to Sunday, that won't cut it, friends. And I know we have found, probably many of us in our life, that that is so. We need daily strength. And so let me go on record saying this. I've said this before, but what I say in this message, there'll be nothing more important than what I'm going to say right now. Nothing's more important than this right here. The most important thing in your walk and mine and in this spiritual warfare is this. It is our daily time with God. Our daily devotional time. You call it what you want to. Your quiet time, your Bible reading and prayer time. Call it what you will, but you must have that, because it's during that time that you and I find our strength for the battle. The battle is not on Sundays only. Of course not. The battle, in fact, the battle rages fiercely when we go to our schools, when we go to our workplaces. That's where we're really on the firing line, isn't it? And so we've got to be strong tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Here's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 33:25. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Well, that was God's wonderful promise for his people so long ago, the Israelites, as we call them, the Jewish people. And it is true, as your days, so your strength will be. God gives you enough strength for one day. He doesn't give you a week's worth of strength on Sunday and expect you to live on the rest of the week on it. Every day you get your supply for that daily need. And then we need inner strength. He's talking here about inner strength. Be strong in the Lord, whether it's outward strength, physical strength. But then there is inner strength, and that's what he's referring to, of course. In fact, in this same letter back in chapter 3 and verse 16, he says this. It's a prayer that Paul had for this church, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, a lot of what we hear in this world has to do with the outward man. That is our physical. And we're constantly reminded we need to exercise. We need to eat right. Oh, I sit on the couch and I have me a sandwich and chips, and up comes a commercial, how to lose weight. And I watch it, but I let it go in one ear and out another, and I enjoy my sandwich. And maybe you do that. We're constantly bombarded with information about the outward man, how we look, how we feel, how we dress. But the Bible, of course, puts the emphasis on the inner man. And if we're going to be strong in spiritual warfare, that's what we have to be concerned about, the inner man. And so it is spiritual inner strength that we so desperately need. The Bible says that it's also connected, this matter of strength, to God's grace. It's a matter of God's grace. Listen to this scripture in 2 Timothy 2:1. Paul again writing to his young son in the faith and in ministry, Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. A lot of us think of grace in terms of salvation, in terms of forgiveness of sin. Well, that's only part of it. We have daily grace provided for daily strength. And then we also find a connection of inner strength and strength for the battle through faith. Listen to what is said about Abraham in Romans 4 and verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And that's what we need to be, isn't it? We need to be strong in faith. We need to know what we believe and know why we believe it. And rest in that. Trust in that. That's what faith is. It's trusting. Faith is taking God at His Word. But we can't take God at His Word if we don't know what the Word says. So that's what the strength through the Word is all about. Knowing it and then living by what we find to where it makes a real difference in our lives. Romans 10:17 goes on to say, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we often put that scripture in connection with salvation, but you can't stop there. You want to grow your faith and strengthen your faith? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, you neglect the Word, and you're going to have weak, frail, puny faith. The only way to have strong faith is get in the book and let the Word get into you. We need strength through our joy. Joy is related to strength. Over Nehemiah 8, verse 10, we find this phrase, the joy of the Lord is your strength. What a great statement that is. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And you've heard that before, haven't you? Remember what's happening in Nehemiah? They're building or rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem that have been dilapidated because the enemy has come in and ruined those city walls, torn them down. So they have to rebuild them. And as they're rebuilding, we're taught in that book of Nehemiah that they went to work on the wall and they had a sword and also had a trowel. What a beautiful image that is of the Christian life. They're building and they're laying stones with the trowel, but then they also have the sword because they're under constant threat and attack. They were not left alone. You know, you set out to do something for God, you'll be under attack. You'll be facing opposition. They were and we are constantly as believers. And so the joy of the Lord would be their strength as they continued to work and as they finished that building project. You remember David, who so terribly sinned against the Lord, as we all have. Maybe not in like manner with him, but in some ways we failed the Lord. And he describes that in Psalm 32, Psalm 51, how he felt depleted. He got basically physically ill, David did, from his time of sin and rebellion against God. And then he calls out for mercy, and a part of that cry of repentance, he says in Psalm 51:12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He knew the only way that he could get back in the fight was to have the joy restored. And that is to know the sense of God's forgiveness and to know that there was joy ringing again in his heart, knowing things were right. We also need strength through Scripture. And I touched upon that, but let me share this verse. 1 John 2, verse 14. This is a powerful scripture on this subject of spiritual warfare. Listen, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, spiritually strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now, you don't have to work at connecting the dots because that verse connects the dots for us, doesn't it? Right there we have it. You're strong, the Word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the devil or the wicked one. And you can't have that succession of things unless they all stick together. And right at the heart of it is the Word of God abides in you. It's one thing to have our Bible dwelling in our home. It's one thing to have a Bible in our hand. But we'll never be successful and victorious in spiritual warfare until the Bible resides in our heart. It must dwell in us and strengthen us. And then we need strength for every need. And we don't know what we might face on any given day, but the Bible assures us, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But what we so often look at these other things that I've mentioned, how does He strengthen us? Through the resources that we have just seen. So there's no excuse for being weak, because the Lord gives us the strength that He knows we're going to need for this spiritual warfare. If we're weak, if we fall out, if we crumble, if we want to give up, we cannot blame that on God. We have ourselves to blame because we do not use the resources that He gives us. Isaiah 40, verse 31 is a beautiful verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And all that I mentioned before, as we think about being strong and being strong for the battle, has to do with this idea of waiting upon the Lord. Wait daily upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord for that inner strength. Wait upon the Lord through His Word as you're reading and studying and pondering, meditating. Wait upon the Lord. That is, have your focus upon the Lord and do that consistently and faithfully, and He will strengthen you and me for our battle. Second thing I want to mention, and we won't have time to develop this as fully as we might want to, but I'll just mention it and then we'll close. And that is our stand in the fight. Not only do we need strength for the fight, but we need to stand in the fight. And it seems like this is one of the main ideas of this passage. Let me show you what I mean here. Look in verse 11, Ephesians 6 and 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then down in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That's the second time we find that. And next verse, stand therefore. So the emphasis is very plain and simple. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Some of you in the military, in fact, all of you in the military, to one degree or another, because of your battlefield experience, you still know this. And even if you haven't served in the military, you know the importance of staking a position, getting a good position. In battle, generally, it's understood that an elevated position is probably to be preferred if you can get that. But then what you do, you try to get the best possible position. And then what do? You stand your ground, don't you? You stand your ground. You hold the position. And this is extremely important. In fact, this is vital for spiritual warfare because He says so. And listen to what the Bible says in another place. In James 4:7, the Bible tells us this. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It doesn't say that we're to run from the devil, that we're to run from the enemy. You'll never find that in the Scripture. For one thing, you can't outrun the devil. You can't outrun the forces of evil, because you're going to find the forces of evil wherever you go. You can't get away from evil. So what you do, you resist the devil, and then what happens? He runs from you. You say, well, I don't fully understand that, and I don't fully understand it either, but apparently what that means is that when you stand your ground against the devil, he will go looking for easier prey. He will go looking for someone who's not going to stand and who's not going to resist. Because he can only attack so many people in so many ways at so many times. And so he's looking for those who are most susceptible, those who are most under the threat of his power. And so he'll leave those alone who are willing to stand, and he'll go on. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And then it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So the same idea, isn't it? Stand, resist, be steadfast. Don't give any ground. We sometimes talk about the devil getting a stronghold in someone's life. But you know what? It doesn't start with a stronghold at first, does it? It begins with a toehold. And then it's a foothold. And then if we let him into our lives, then it becomes a stronghold. So the principle of standing firm. And the Bible tells us we are to stand firm in the gospel. You can find scripture for all of these. Stand firm in faith. Stand firm in the Spirit. Stand firm in the grace of God. And that's what we need to do. The key to winning the spiritual battles of life is to stand firm against the foe. I remember when I first came across the Gideons several years ago. In fact, it was 1983 or thereabouts when I was first a pastor. And the Gideons try to link arms with pastors because they like to have access to churches, and so that's an obvious connection. And I remember going to some of their banquets through the years. And it was early on, probably in 83 to 85 at least, was at one of their banquets they had for the pastors, telling us about their work. And they often have one of their ladies to speak for a brief time. And the wives of the Gideons are known as the auxiliary. And on this occasion, the woman got up and, speaking on behalf of the Gideons' wives, said this, and it stuck with me. She said, our auxiliary motto is this: we spend time on our knees before God so that our husbands can spend time on their feet before men. I thought to myself when I first heard it, that's great. And that should be true of all believers. Praying for others so that they can stand. Praying for ourselves. Time spent on our knees. Time spent in prayer will help us to stand. Perseverance is what we need. Patience, staying power, that's what we need. Paul writes about being forsaken, because sometimes people that have stood with you will stand with you for a while and then not stand with you anymore. And perhaps most all of us have had that experience in the Christian life. And Paul's writing to Timothy again in the second letter, near the end of that letter. And this is near the end of Paul's life. And just listen to this language. You can feel the heartbeat of the Apostle Paul when he writes in chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Do thy diligence, he writes to Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, or quickly unto me. Here's the mighty Apostle Paul that we all admire and know he stood firmly against all adversaries. But he was human. And he says to Timothy, come, I need you. And come as soon as you can. He goes on to say in verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's a sad, sad verse, isn't it? One of the people that stood with him and then is no longer standing. And what that points out that we know all so well is sometimes we have to stand alone. And if need be, you know what? That's what we must do by the grace of God. But what that also puts into the spotlight is how much we need each other to stand together. We need each other. We stand in spiritual warfare, but this is what church is all about. And that's why I would submit to you, this whole COVID outbreak has affected the church in that we're seeing people that are not with us as they used to be with us. And to that extent, it is a spiritual battle that we are in. We need everybody. We need a closing of the ranks. We need a coming back together. And I don't know how much time it's going to take, but I know we all need that. And to be reminded of 1 Corinthians 15:58, again, it has to do with standing. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to close with this. I don't know who gets credit for this because I found it and it was written as I found it anonymously. But it speaks to what I have tried to say today. And it is very meaningful and to the point, I might add. It's called A Soldier in God's Army. I pray that we'll all hear this with our heart. I'm a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are the weapons of my warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army, and I'm enlisted for eternity. I will either retire at the rapture or die in this army. But I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I'm there. If He needs me to teach children in Sunday school, to work with the youth, to help adults, or just to sit and learn, He can use me because I'm there. If He needs me in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek, during revival or special service, I'm there. I'm there to preach, teach, work, or worship. God can use me because I'm there. I am a soldier. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my King, obeying His orders, praising His name, and building His kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt badly enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot defeat me. Money cannot buy me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander comes and calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me and then bring me back to rule this world with him. I'm a soldier in God's army. I will never surrender to the enemy. I will never turn back. I am a soldier marching heavenward, claiming victory as I go. Here I stand. Will you stand with me? What a rallying call that is to every child of God. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that we can only be as strong as an army as we are strong together. Would you bow with me? Father, our prayer is for mercy, that you would be merciful to us as we serve, Lord, in your army. Just as you were merciful to us in salvation. And we pray that you would be to any who need salvation today as they cry out for that. You were merciful to all of us that called out for salvation whenever that happened. And daily we call out for mercy for our forgiveness of our sins. But we call out for mercy because we want to be better soldiers. We want to be more faithful so that you can always rely on us. So much is at stake. And let us remember on this Veterans Day Sunday that we've been called to a high account. This is a high privilege and a high honor to be in your army, to be enlisted, to serve you. To be on this battlefield is not easy, as you've told us. And we need to be ready and to have the mindset from day to day that You have told us to have. So I pray that You'll work that into our lives. And as we continue beyond this message even to look at this subject, help us to be strong, to be faithful, and to be able to say one day what Paul said in his testimony, I have fought a good fight. Help us all to be able to say that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.